Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with The Mystery of Providence from John Flavel. And we are still continuing on in an overall part one, The Evidence of Providence. And last time we finished chapter two, Our Birth and Upbringing. And it was essentially a longer section on the benefits that one has received if they were brought up in a Christian home or a Christian environment. Or a Christian nation, I believe, and that these should be looked at as great mercies from God with thankfulness and humility that he offered that to you regardless of anything. And that brought us to the end of chapter 2 and thus up to chapter 3, which we're, Lord willing, going to begin for this reading. And I'll go ahead and start. It's called The Work of Conversion, and Mr. Flavel begins, "In nothing does Providence shine forth more gloriously in this world than in ordering the occasions, instruments, and means of conversion of the people of God. However skillfully its hand had molded your bodies, however tenderly it had preserved them, and however bountifully it had provided for them, if it had not also ordered some means or other for your conversion, all the former favors and benefits it had done for you had meant little." And he says it, he refers to Providence. Providence is often referred to as God, or it certainly comes from God. And so if it's just coming from God, he's referring to Providence as an it. So he continues, this is the most excellent benefit you ever received from its hand. You are more indebted to it for this than for all your other mercies. And in explaining this performance of Providence, I cannot but think your hearts must be deeply affected. This is a subject which every gracious heart loves to steep its thoughts in. It is certainly the sweetest history that ever they repeated. They love to think and talk of it. The places where, and the instruments by whom, this work was wrought are exceedingly endeared to them for the work's sake, yea, endeared to that degree that for many years after, their hearts have melted when they have but passed occasionally by those places or but seen the faces of those persons that were used as instruments in the hand of Providence for their good. As no doubt but Jacob's Bethel was ever after that night sweet to his thoughts, Genesis 48, verse 3, so other saints have had their Bethels as well as he. O blessed places, times, and instruments, or instrumentality for bringing them to salvation. O the deep, the sweet impressions, never to be erased out of the memory or heart, that this providence has made upon those on whom it wrought this blessed effect at years of discretion and in a more perceptible way. But lest any poor soul should be discouraged by the display of this providence because he cannot remember the time, place, instruments, and manner when and by which conversion work was wrought, I will therefore premise this necessary distinction to prevent injury to some, while I design benefit to others. Conversion, as to the subjects of it, may be considered two ways, either as it is more clearly wrought in persons of riper years, who in their youthful days were more profane and vile, or upon persons in their tender years, into whose hearts grace was more imperceptibly and indiscernibly instilled by God's blessing upon pious education. In the former sort, the distinct acts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, illuminating, convincing, humbling, drawing them to Christ, and sealing them are more evident and discernible. In the latter, these are more obscure and confused, not confused into the actual work, but just confused in being able to perceive it as to when things might have happened. They can remember that God gave them an esteem and liking of godly persons, care of duty and conscience of sin, but as to the time, place, instruments, and manner of the work, they can give but a slender account of them. However, if the work is savingly wrought in them, there is no reason they should be troubled because the circumstances of it are not so evident to them as they are to others. Let the substance and reality of the work appear, and there is no reason to afflict yourselves because of the lack of evidence of such circumstances. But where the circumstances as well as substance are clear to a man, when we can call to remembrance the time when, the place where, the instrument by whom that work was wrought, it must needs be exceedingly sweet, and they cannot but yield a fresh delight to the soul every time they are reflected upon. There are many of the following occasions which, it may be, we took for stragglers when they first befell us, but they proved scouts sent out from the main body of Providence, which they make way for. Now, there are various things in those providences that respect this work, which are exceedingly sweet and taking, as namely, he gives the first example, I believe, the wonderful strangeness and unaccountableness of this work of Providence in casting us into the way and ordering the occasions, yea, the minutest circumstances about this work. Thus you find that the eunuch, at the very instant when he was reading the prophet Isaiah, had an interpreter, one among a thousand, that joins his chariot just as his mind was by a fit occasion prepared to receive the first light of the knowledge of Christ, Acts 8:26-30. And how strange was that change, however far it went, upon Naaman the Syrian in 2 Kings 5:1-4, that the Syrians in their incursion should bring away this girl, likely her beauty was the inducement, and she must be presented to Naaman's wife and relate to her the power of God that accompanied the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, though you find in that particular case there had never been an instance given before, Luke 4:27. Doubtless the whole of this affair, or all of it, was guided by the signal direction of Providence. So for the conversion of the Samaritans, it is observed that Christ must needs go that way, John 4:4. It lay just in the road between Judea and Galilee, and at the sixth hour, or in other words, high noon, he rests himself upon Jacob's well, still seeming to have no other design but his own refreshment by sitting and drinking there. But, oh, what a train of blessed providences follow this, which seemed but an accidental thing. First, the woman of Samaria, and then many more in that city are brought to believe in Christ, verses 29-41. It is noted by Melchior Adams in the Life of Junius how much of an atheist he was in his younger years. But in order to bring about his conversion to God, first, a wonderful preservation of his life in a public tumult at Lyon in France must take place, which forces from him the acknowledgement of a deity. Then his father sends for him home and with much gentleness persuades him to read the scriptures. He lights upon the first of John, and with it he feels a divine supernatural majesty and power seizing his soul, which brought him over by a complete conversion to Jesus Christ. Thus, as the woman of Tekoa told David, does God devise means to bring back his banished? And it's not a question, but he does. He devises means to bring back his banished, 2 Samuel 14:14. Lavater tells us that many Spanish soldiers, going into the wars of Germany, were there converted to Christ by going into the cities and towns where godly ministers and Christians were. Robert Bolton, though an excellent scholar, yet in his younger years he was a very irreligious person and a jeerer of holy men, but being cast into the company of godly Mr. Peacock, was by him brought to repentance and proved a famous instrument in the Church of Christ. A scrap of paper accidentally coming to view has been used as an occasion of conversion. This was the case of a minister in Wales who had two livings, but took little care of either. Being at a fair, he bought something at a peddler's stall and tore off a leaf of Mr. Perkins' catechism to wrap it in, and reading a line or two in it, God sent it home so as it did the work. The marriage of a godly man into a carnal family has been ordered by Providence for the conversion and salvation of many therein. Thus we read in the life of that renowned English worthy, John Bruin, that in his second match it was agreed that he should have 1 year's diet in his mother-in-law's house. During his abode there, that year, the Lord was pleased by this means graciously to work upon her soul, as also upon his wife's sister and half-sister, their brothers William and Thomas Fox, with one or two of the servants in that family. The reading of a good book has been the means of bringing others to Christ, and thus we find many of the German divines converted by reading Luther's books. Yea, and what is more strange, Sladen, in his commentary, tells us that Vergerius, though he were an eye and ear witness to that doleful case of Spira, which one would think should move a stone, yet still continued so firm to the Pope's interest that when he fell into some suspicion among the cardinals, he resolved to purge himself by writing a book against the German apostates. But the supposed apostates is what the Catholic Church would call them. But while he read the Protestant books, out of no other design but to confute them, while he is weighing the arguments, he is himself convinced and brought to Christ. He, finding himself thus overcome by the truth, imparts his conviction to his brother, also a zealous papist. This brother deplores the misery of his case and seeks to reclaim him. But Vergerius, entreating him to weigh well the Protestant arguments, he also yields. And so both immediately gave themselves to preaching justification by the free grace of God through the blood of Christ. Yea, not only the reading of a book or hearing a minister, but, which is most remarkable, the very mistake or forgetfulness of a minister has been improved by Providence for this end and purpose. Augustine, once preaching to his congregation, forgot the argument which first he proposed and attacked the error of the Manichees beside his first intention. But this discourse he converted one Firmus, his hearer, who fell down at his feet weeping and confessing he had lived a Manichee many years. Another I knew who, going to preach, took up another Bible than he had designed, in which, not only missing his notes, but the chapter also in which his text lay, was put to some loss thereby. But after a short pause, he resolved to speak on any other scripture that might be presented to him, and accordingly read that text, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness," 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And though he had nothing prepared, yet the Lord helped him to speak both methodically and pertinently from it, by which discourse a gracious change was wrought upon one in the congregation who has since given good evidence of a sound conversion and acknowledged this sermon to be the first and only means thereof. The accompanying of others in a neighborly civil visit has been overruled to the same end. Thus, many of the Jews accompanied Mary into Bethany, designing only to manifest their civil respect, but there they met Christ and saw the things which he did and believed on him, John 11:45. Furmin, F-I-R-M-I-N, and the footnote says, Giles Furmin, 1614 to 1697, a Puritan minister of Shalford, Essex, and author of The Real Christian. He tells us of one who had lived many years in a town where Christ had been as clearly and as long preached as in any town in England. This man, when he was about 76 years of age, went to visit a sick neighbor. And here's a quote. "A Christian friend of mine," he says, "came to see him also, and finding this old man there, whom he judged to be one that lived upon his own stock, civility, good works, etc., he purposely fell into that discourse to show how many persons lived upon their duties but never came to Christ. The old man sitting by the bedside heard him, and God was pleased to convince him that he was such a person who had lived upon himself without Christ to that day, and would afterwards say, 'Had I died before 16, I had perished, for I knew not Christ.'" End quote. Now, the committing of a godly man to prison has been the method of providence to save the soul of a poor keeper. So Paul was made a prisoner to make his keeper, his jailkeeper, a spiritual free man, Acts 16:27. The like success had Dr. Barnes in Queen Mary's days, who afterwards celebrated the Lord's Supper in prison with his converted keeper. The scattering of ministers and Christians by persecution from cities and towns into the ignorant and barbarous parts of the country has been the way of providence to find out and bring home some lost sheep that were found there to Jesus Christ. Acts 8:1-4. The like signal event has since followed upon the like scattering of godly ministers, of which there are many outstanding instances at this day. A servant running away from his master, probably out of no other design but to live an idle, I-D-L-E, life, yet falling into such places and companies as Providence ordered in a design to him unknown, unknown to the person, has thereby been brought to be the servant of Christ. This was the very case of Onesimus, who ran away from his master Philemon to Rome, where by a strange providence, possibly a mere curiosity to see the prisoners, he there falls into Paul's hands, who begat him to Christ in his bonds, Philemon 10-16. Going to hear a sermon in jest has proved some men's conversion in earnest. The above-named Mr. Furmin tells us of a notorious drunkard, whom the drunkards called Father, that one day would needs go to hear what Mr. Wilson said, out of no other design, it seems, but to scoff at that holy man. But in the prayer before the sermon, his heart began to thaw, and when he read his text, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee," John 5:14, he could not contain, and in that sermon the Lord changed his heart, though so bitter an enemy that the minister on lecture days was afraid to go to church before his shop door. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how small a portion is known of him. The dropping of some grave and weighty word accidentally in the presence of vain carnal persons, the death of a husband, wife, or child, a fit of sickness, with a thousand other such like occasions, have been thus improved by providence to the conversion of souls. And no less remarkable and wonderful are the designs of providence in ordering the removals and governing the movements of ministers from place to place for the conversion of souls. Thus often it carries them to places where they did not intend to go, God having, unknown to them, some elect vessels there who must be called by the gospel. Thus Paul and Timothy, a sweet and lovely pair, when they were traveling through Phrygia and Galatia, were forbidden to preach the word in Asia, to which probably their minds inclined, Acts 16, verse 6, and when they essayed to go into Bithynia, the Spirit suffered them not, verse 7, but a man of Macedonia, or in other words, an angel in the shape or habit of a man of that country, appeared to Paul in a vision and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us, verse 9, and there did God open the heart of Lydia. I knew a pious minister now with God, who, falling in his study upon a very rousing subject, intended for his own congregation, was strongly moved, when he had finished it, to go to a rude, vile, profane people about 5 miles off, and first preach it to them. After many wrestlings with himself, not being willing to quench any motion that might be supposed to come from the Spirit of God, he obeyed and went to this people, who had then no minister of their own, and few durst come among them. And there did the Lord, beyond all expectation, open a door, and several profane ones received Christ in that place and engaged this minister to a weekly lecture among them, in which many souls were won to God. W-O-N. The same holy man at another time, being upon a journey, passed by a company of vain persons, who were wrestling upon a green near the road. Just as he came near the place, one of them had thrown his antagonist and stood triumphing in his strength and activity. This good man rode up to them, the minister, and turning his speech to this person, told him, quote, friend, I see that you are a strong man, but let not the strong man glory in his strength. You must know that you are not to wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. How sad will it be that Satan should at last trip up the heels of your hope and give you an eternal overthrow. End quote. After about a quarter of an hour's serious discourse upon this subject, he left them and went on his journey. But this discourse made such an impression that the person had no rest till he confided his trouble to a godly minister, who, wisely following the work upon his soul, saw at last the blessed issue thereof in the gracious change of the person, of which he afterwards gave the minister a joyful account. Oh, how unsearchable are the methods of providence in this matter! Nay, what is yet more wonderful, the providence of God has sometimes ordered the very malice of Satan and wickedness of men as an occasion of eternal good to their souls. A very memorable example of this I shall here give the reader, faithfully relating what, not many years past, occurred in my own observation in this place, to the astonishment of many spectators. Now, I believe he goes on to relay this story. It's a little bit longer, so we're going to go ahead and stop there for this reading, and then, Lord willing, go into that that story the next reading. But until then, go considering the works of providence in your life, especially if you have been converted to Christ, and you, I believe that if you examine them and even ask God to help you, you'll see the work of his hand in there and how things quote unquote, worked out to bring you to that point, bring you to Him, and may that bring you to great thankfulness. And if you haven't been converted, we'd urge you to seek Him and seek the Lord Christ to be your Savior so that you aren't overthrown on that last day into an eternal place of separation from God and misery in hell. And there is a remedy, and it is Christ. And we beseech you this day to put down the weapons of your warfare and turn to Him and come to Him as a Savior seeking repentance and forgiveness and cleansing from your sins in the blood of Christ. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.